What's happening, everyone? This is the Celtics Talk Podcast coming to you from the Cumberland Farms Lounge at our NBC Sports Boston studios. Cumberland Farms coffee is just 99 cents any size. That's 99 good reasons to switch. I'm Kyle Draper, joined by A. Sherrod Blakely. What's up, Sherrod?
What's up, Kyle? I think you may have downed a couple cups, man.
I'm always hype.
Your pace has picked up a little bit.
You got to understand, big fella. Outside of my basketball knowledge, the energy that I bring is what, you know, really gets me going. And so coming up in just a few minutes, I talked to Walter McCarty. Walter McCarty is going to join us, the former Celtics assistant coach who's now head coach at the University of Evansville. Plus, Scal and Stevens. Stevens and Scal, they talk about leadership. Plus, not having a team captain on the Celtics. When's the last time they had a captain? Was it Paul Pierce?
Yeah, I believe
it was. Paul Pierce was the last captain for the Celtics. But then he got traded like the next month or something like that. He was interim captain.
Yeah, I'm not sure Rondo was like officially named a captain, but he was the longest tenured Celtic. So it's like, who's going to talk to him? Okay, Rondo, it's
right. Sherrod, we got a lot to get to, man. I'm continually amazed at how well this team is playing. Despite all the injuries, the huge win over Utah the other night, Jaylen Brown knocking down the three. You know, give Brad a lot of credit, but give these players credit too. They are stepping up even without Kyrie or Smart or some of the players.
This is what players are told when you come to the NBA is going to happen. At some point in your career, you are going to get a chance to get on the floor and make an impact. And I give a lot of these guys credit. I mean, Shimmy Ojeleye, Abdul Nader, Shane Larkin, you go down the line. These are guys that when the season began, you didn't envision that, we're trying to lock up that number two seed. So we need Abdul Nader to make a play or two. We need Shimmy Ojeleye to make a defensive stop. We need Shane Larkin to come in and change the tempo for us. They're doing all the little things that players on the back end of your roster need to do in order to make you as a team strong as the Celtics are.
Yeah, and one of the things I said, you know, they play Sacramento. They play Phoenix. And people are like, you know.
Busters!
Might they overlook these teams? Well, maybe if you had your full complement, but the guys that they're playing, they're hungry, Sherrod. You know, you mentioned Abdul Nader, Shane Larkin. They don't get a whole lot of minutes, so when they're out there, they're trying to do their thing. They're trying to get buckets and trying to win games.
Yeah, I mean, they're like that little kid who is watching folks play double dutch thinking, like, man, if I get a chance, I'm going to get it. And when I start jumping, I'm just not going to stop.
That's how
this team is from top to bottom. And to me, the thing I like about it is when you see guys at the back end playing the way they are, when you're a Jaylen Brown, when you're a Tatum, when you're a Marcus Morris, and you see those guys at the end getting it done, that's pressure on you when you get in there. And so you can't just ease back and say, well, you know what? Shimmy Ojeleye, second-round pick, SMU, I ain't got to worry about him. Yeah, you do.
You do.
And that forces you to play more focus, which, as a collective body, makes you a better team.
Players get a lot of credit. How much credit does Brad get? Because about a month ago, Sherrod, Dwayne Casey was my coach of the year. I've changed that. With this recent two-week stretch or so, the fact that they're doing it without Kyrie and so many other guys, but yet they go into Portland and when they go into Utah, to me, Brad Stevens is the coach of the year.
When it comes to coach of the year and all those type of awards, often people's biggest memory is the last memory. And so Brad, he's showing his coaching – he's stepping up his coaching game at a time when people – are just starting to formulate their opinions on who they're going to vote for and things like that. I mean, the ballots are going to come out, you know, the first week of April. And yes, I will
get a vote, right?
Who are you voting for? I don't know which categories. Can I finish? I don't know which categories I'm voting for, but I will be one of the voting members when I get my ballot next week. And for Coach of the Year, you know, I've been a little hesitant to give it to Brad, only because, and here's why. Brad has done such a good job throughout his entire time, that the area for improvement in his coaching is very small. I mean, he consistently is up there. He's almost punished because he's been too consistently good. Can I finish? Can I finish? What separates him this year from previous seasons is not only is he finding a way to get the Celtics to compete at a high level, they're knocking off the best teams in the league with guys who should be in the G League. I mean, Yabu, my man, the dancing bear, he gets a starting assignment? I mean, he was lucky to start for the G League team, and now he's starting in NBA games and doing things to help them, knocking down a shot every now and then. You go down the line, Brad Stevens has done more with the least, better than he's ever done more with the least talented poor. And so that's why right now he is my coach of the year. But again, we
got to. So you still got 2 weeks left? That could change your mind?
That could change my mind, absolutely. Because look, if they go and they play, let's say, Toronto.
They got two against Toronto.
They got two, and they get smashed both games. And let's say of the remaining five games, they lose maybe three out of those five. And let's say Toronto finishes with a flurry, then I'm probably going to go back to Casey. But right now, right this minute, in this moment, Brad's my guy.
The argument against Casey, and it's not against him, it's the Raptors been relatively healthy from start to finish, you know? And they got two all-stars in Lowry and DeRozan. And I know their young players have played well, and that development has been key. But, man, the job Brad is doing right now,
that
is
point,
ridiculous.
But the point that you just brought up about Toronto, that is why he's the guy. The fact that you got guys like Siakam and Van Fleet. Van Fleet was a guy that nobody wanted. And he's one of the better backup guards, you know, for a young Toronto team. That's why Casey is in the hunt. And really, to me, it's a two-person race. It's either him or Brad. I don't see any other coach. Forget about those knuckleheads out West. None of them have done it the way those two guys in the East have this year.
All right. So we agree, Brad Stevens is the guy.
It's either right now,
right now.
Right now, Brad's the guy.
Brad's the guy. We talked about the injuries, and I start
to wonder
what if.
There's nothing else to talk about. I mean, damn, you got so many.
No, but I start to wonder what if.
Oh, boy.
What if Kyrie was healthy? What if Marcus Smart was healthy? What if Gordon Hayward a whole season? And so here we are at the Celtics with, what, 52 wins? They'll wind up maybe 55 or so, 56, something like that. Is this a 60-win team when healthy, you think?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if so, Sherrod, are they the favorites, if healthy, coming out of the East?
Yep.
I think as well as Toronto has played, if they the Celtics had all their weapons.
There's no question they'd be the favorites. To me, they would be overwhelming favorites, and here's why.
Dang.
Here's why.
Even over LeBron and the boys?
Absolutely. Here's why, though. Because they have enough talent in that starting lineup to play with anybody in the East.
Yeah.
They have a bench that we thought, well, maybe they had two or three guys. No, they got like six. They got like
seven guys who can come in there
and do some things off that bench. So you've got a starting five that can play with anyone in the East, and you got a bench that is arguably as good or better than pretty much every second unit in the Eastern Conference. So if you got a great starting five that can hang with anyone, and you got a bench that is on an upper echelon level as a group, not individually, but as a group, you have all the makings of a team that can win it all. Certainly get out of the East.
Right.
And that, to me, that's what makes right now Golden State kind of people are like.
I've been telling you that for the last month, bro.
Drapes, your revisionist memory is killing me. Killing me.
No, because here's the thing about Golden State. I know when healthy, they're the best team. But at this stage, late in the season, things are just starting
to
creep up.
Their bench isn't strong.
Their bench isn't as strong. I'm not sure what's going on with your boy Durant getting ejected every
other
game.
He didn't earn that one, though, unless he said the magic word. And I don't think he did. He didn't earn that tech.
Now, you know what's up with Durant, dude. Success is getting to his head. He went into a title, and then all of a sudden, he wanted to start telling the referees off like he the man.
Well, he kind of is.
He is the man,
but slow
your role, man.
I mean, let's just be real. Kevin Durant, let's see. I'm probably, other than LeBron James, there's probably nobody in the game in, I don't know,
the world
better than me.
But act like you're not. Stay poor, hungry, and driven. That's the problem. And I don't want to turn this into the Kevin Durant Celtics Talk podcast, but, man, this was on my mind, yo. The guy ejected five times. What? Most since your boy Rasheed Wallace got ejected in seven times?
But him and Rasheed, completely different animals. And you will not get me to hate on Rasheed Wallace. So you might as well just close that door and knock somewhere else. Kevin, I think he has embraced too much of that Golden State, whatever it is, that Draymond has. He really has become more Draymond than Draymond has become Kevin Durant. And that's just
that
bad.
Whining?
Whining, complaining, thinking everyone is against you, but at the end of the day, we're still going to find a way to win. Well, guess what? The reason you won was because you had guys that when you're behind got kicked out of the game, you had guys who could step up. Yeah. Looking around, not so much.
Not so much. And that's why I think Houston, this is their year, to get to the final.
I will say this, though. If I'm the Boston Celtics, if I can get out of the East, which is going to be difficult, you're going to need Kyrie to come back and be old Kyrie. There isn't a team at the top of the food chain in the West that you don't feel confident you can beat in the best of
You're not afraid of Houston?
No. You're not afraid. No. And if you're Houston, you are afraid of Boston. And here's why. They've shown the ability to get in your best player's head multiple occasions. They spotted you 26 points in their building and beat you. And they damn near beat you in your building when you had all the motivation in the world to come out and crush them.
The Celtics would go into that series.
Marcus Morris would be the guy I would talk to the most because I know he's going to keep it so straight, no chaser. They good, but we ain't afraid of them.
So hold on. You bring this up.
Yes, I did.
And we know the injury situation. Is 18-19 more realistic? I'm talking about next season for the Celtics. Or is there a window of opportunity this year?
I think that's why the Celtics are not ready to like shut everybody down for the season. Because they know if we can get that number one or two spot, lock that up, and we get certain matchups, it's not a stretch to see them going to the NBA Finals. It really isn't, especially if you can get Kyrie back in, let's say, maybe the early part of the second round, maybe late first, and then you get Marcus Smart back for when you really need your brass knuckles ballers for that second round matchup with whoever or the conference finals. Now, all of a sudden, you're feeling good because two of your most important players, they may be a little rusty, but they're also going to be rested.
And if you look at the standings, it's quite possible you could have a first-round matchup, let's say, against Indiana.
Oh, I don't want that, but go ahead.
You know, and then maybe, not Indiana, I'm sorry, like a Milwaukee.
Yes,
but then
I want that one.
A second-round matchup against Indiana or a Philly, and not even Cleveland. So you may not see Cleveland or Toronto till the Eastern Conference Finals.
And one of them will cancel the other
out. Embiid is already banged up. Embiid, you know, with the orbital fracture.
Our good friend and producer, Max Letterman, huge Sixers fan.
Sixers guy.
I told him while we were watching Markel Fultz return that by him stepping back on the floor, he's messing up the process. He did not trust the process.
He literally messed up the process.
And something was going to go wrong. I didn't want anybody to get hurt, but something was going to go wrong. He completely ignored the redshirt program that they have instituted and has worked out like a charm. Now you might get bounced in the first round.
I know, man. That is unbelievable. If you're Brad Stevens, though, if you're Danny Ainge, you're not rushing Kyrie back, right? I mean, we're talking about this window of opportunity. I mean, Kyrie's 3 to 6 weeks away from basketball activities.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
And so that's that's a challenge for them. If that window is there, but
here's
you don't
want
to jeopardize the future.
The window is there, but the only way that window is going to realistically be open is that things have to happen that you have no control over. You have to get certain matchups. You have to get Cleveland to be in a bracket with Toronto so you don't have to see them at the earliest into the conference finals.
Because you don't want to have to go through both those teams.
Well, to me, it's not
the second round.
It's not even
Toronto.
So much that, Drapes. It's the fact that you don't want to have to deal with either one of them when you have Kyrie and Marcus Smart both out. So if you can make it so that they have to knock one or the other off, and you may see them in the conference finals where you're going to have both Marcus Smart and Kyrie back by then, you're feeling good about your chances of getting to the next round.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I am totally with you on that. All right, coming up in just a minute, we're going to talk to Walter McCarty, who used to be the assistant coach for the Celtics, now head coach of the University of Evansville. But, Sharada, Isaiah Thomas.
Oh, God.
What do you mean, oh, God? As I said, this time last year, you were all pointing to your watch king of the fourth.
Can
and
I
all
elaborate
that?
On the oh, God?
Okay,
it's right. Oh, God, I feel bad for him. That's the oh, God I'm talking about. It's Drapes. When you look at just go back to when this guy first got into the league. I mean, there are 60 players drafted every year, and he was dead last. Guys who are dead last in the draft, they are lucky to get a swig of coffee. Not a cup, get a swig. He has gotten the whole damn pitcher. And then some. And then he plays his way in Boston to being a two-time All-Star, is on his way to getting the fattest payday any number 60 pick has ever gotten in life. And then you hip. Then you struggle to get back on the floor in Cleveland. Then you get traded to not a playoff team, but the Lakers, who are in full-blown rebuild mode. Then your boy talks about you're going to start. And then it's like, oops, my bad. I'm coming off the bench
off
now. And then you get hurt again, and now you're out for the season. I mean, from the moment the Celtics decided to trade him, Isaiah's basketball career has been like Enron stock. Just go down, 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 down. Keep going.
Young kids don't even know what Enron is, bro.
They got Google.
They got, all right, look up Enron. But, you know, the talk now is, did the Celtics medical staff mess up IT?
Well, that's I think to me,
talk right
that's
now.
An easy narrative to latch on to because of how things have transpired. But when Isaiah was trying to play his heart out because he knew that, hey, I got to show them that I can play through pain, that wasn't an issue. When he got to Cleveland and they said, well, you know what, that hip isn't right, so we need more compensation, and the Celtics eventually gave them that, that was okay. But now all of a sudden it really was – no. See, the only problem – only reason why that's even a discussion is because of where he's at now, not what he has gone through the process.
But, Shirai, I told you a year ago he's going to need surgery. Yeah, no, that's not revisionist history. I actually said that. Let's pull the tape, dude. There was no doubt he was going to need surgery, and I think the Celtics and Isaiah, because of his money situation, he wanted to get paid. He wants his money. You know, he knew going under the knife, he would be out 4 months. Would that affect his money? And it's sad to see, you know, that it's wound up at this point for IT.
But the issue to me always comes back to, and you, and the point that you raised, nobody put a gun on Isaiah's head and said, you're going to play with that bad hip.
Right.
He made that decision himself. He's a grown-ass man. Right. He made that conscious decision. He rolled the dice that he could make it through and things would work out. And Snake Eyes, that's what he got.
All right. Sherrod needs to chill for a minute. He's kind of fired up here.
I am, man. Because IT is my guy, but damn, you made this decision.
I know.
And it didn't work out.
And you know, revisionist history, hindsight, whatever you want to call it.
Brent Shirkin coming to his neighborhood.
He probably wishes he would have had the surgery last year. All right, let's jump into this interview with Walter McCarty, the former Celtics assistant and head coach at the University of Evansville. All right, Walt, thanks for jumping on the Celtics Talk podcast, man. I know you are hard at work now as head coach of the Evansville Aces. How's it going for you so far?
It's going good, man. Just getting acclimated and, you know, just really tapping into all my resources for us to be successful here. And it's been fun so far. It's been a whirlwind, but it's been fun.
How special is it for you also to be able to go back home and coach where you're from too? I know that had to be part of your decision.
Oh yeah, I mean it's great to be back in this community and lead this program, and you know, to actually run my own program and just you know, have the opportunity that I've been preparing for a while. So I'm excited about it.
What was that conversation with Brad like when you were like, Brad, I got this opportunity, I'm going for it?
You know, Brad has been supportive every step of the way, and Brad and I, we've had numerous conversations through the years, and he has known my aspirations of being a head coach at the college ranks, and he and Danny, and you know, when the time came and things looked like, hey, the school may be interested, and you know, Brad helped me prepare and you know, do things where I wouldn't be surprised, but you know, just help me to be ready and be able to come in and win the job. So Brad's been very supportive. And, you know, you guys know Brad. I can't say enough good things about him and what he's done for me, you know. So it was a great conversation. He understood and, he did everything in his will to help me be successful and prepare for it.
Walt, I'm looking at the timetable, though, and I'm thinking, hold up, the regular season about to end, this team about to go on a deep playoff run, maybe, just maybe, get to the NBA Finals, and my guy Walt, he ain't going to be there. He going to be doing this thing. Was that tough at all, you know, knowing, you know, how good this season has been for the Celtics, knowing their aspirations this year?
No, yeah, it's definitely tough, and just not being – around those guys, because you know we spend so much time with those guys, and you know we're close to those guys, and then just to be gone one day, you know, it's tough. You know, I still text the guys. You know, I'm watching the games, and I'm seeing them be successful, and I'm excited because you know I'm there. I see the process that they do every day to have their success on the court. So it's tough, but I mean, this is how it happens. You know, this is something I think I've prepared for a long time, and. It's when it comes, it comes, and that really worried about what you got going on. It's just, you know, you have to say, yeah, I'm all in. You know, I got these kids here now who believe in me, who trust me to put them in right situations and help them be successful. So I got to be here for them.
Yeah, exactly. Now, did you watch the Utah game the other night, or at least saw highlights?
I did.
What did you think about that, man? Jalen coming through.
That was awesome, man. Those guys are, you know, to be so young, Jason and Jalen, Shimmy and Terry, those guys are up for any challenge, and they're not afraid to make big plays and not afraid to be, you know, have the ball in, you know, in big situations. And that's just a testament of how good Brad is and instilling the confidence in those guys to be prepared and ready for those big moments.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. I mean, no Kyrie, no Marcus Smart, no Morris, no Al. I mean, the list goes on, but yet this team still continues to win. How much credit are we giving Brad? But you also got to give the players credit too, Walt.
No, equally got to give both credit. Those guys have prepared and got themselves in the position to be successful by the work they put in. You know, those guys work hard. They're in the gym. They sacrifice a lot to be so young, and those guys want to win, and they want to be great basketball players. And Brad has done a really good job of getting those guys in and out of the game, getting them rest, giving them beliefs, and, you know, trusting in them and leaning on them to make the right plays. That they've done it. So kudos to both of them. They're all doing the right things. It's just the culture that the Celtics have built that that allows everybody to really, you know, mature and you know, be a star in their own roles.
I want to ask you about the two young guys in terms of Tatum and Jalen. Let's start with Jalen, second-year guy. I've been amazed, Walt, by his work ethic, like his improvement. If you remember before the All-Star break, Walt, he was struggling from the free throw line. Since the All-Star break, he's hitting like 90%. You know, I feel like that's something he's worked on. When he came out of college, they said he wasn't a shooter. He's worked on his three-point game. What's the ceiling for a kid like that that's always willing to put in the work?
That's great, man. He does. He's always in the gym, and he wants to be a really, really good basketball player. He loves the game, which makes it easier. So he's a tough kid. He's not going to let anything get him down. He's up for every challenge, and he knows how to challenge himself, and he has confidence in himself. Even though he wasn't shooting the ball well, he never got down on himself. Now, he knew he had to put some work in, but he never got down on himself, and he's able just to keep getting better and better. And, you know, the way he works, man, he's got a big ceiling.
He's got a big ceiling. No doubt Tatum has a big ceiling. Did you see this in him early on, some of those early workouts? Because I think, you know, a lot of people, you know, looked at him coming out of Duke. All right, you know, he's long, but he needs to put on some weight maybe. Like, I don't think people knew about his skills, you know, just how skilled of a player
he
was.
That's why we were – when we saw him, that's why we wanted to move to get him. I mean, we knew what we saw. We knew what we had, and – we were just all taken back by his talent and things that he could do. And once we saw that in the workouts, we were like, man, this is the guy right here. And we really believed that. And the rest is history. But, you know, just even in summer league, you know, I said he reminds me of Paul Pierce, and people got all up in arms. But what I was saying, his length, being able to get his shot off, you know, knowing how to play the game, his IQ. You know, I didn't say he was going to be a Paul Pierce, but, you know, everybody's up in arms about me saying that. And look what he's doing.
Yeah, and I think his maturity, too. The thing I love about watching him, you know, usually rookies, they come in, they move too fast. You know, the game is going off fast. I mean, it seems like, you know, he's even keeled. The game is, you know, he's just playing his game out there. I never get the sense that it's too much for him.
Those guys and Jason, Jalen, Shimmy, Terry, even Daniel Tice. Daniel's a little older. He's a rookie, but those guys are way mature beyond the years. And it's not, you don't always see that. And that's just that's just a credit to Danny Ainge and their scouting. I mean, they really did a good job, you know, when scouting these guys and saying these are the guys we need. They've done a really good job. I mean, hands down, they've done a good job getting the right guys in here.
And you know, I know it's been a great season for the Celtics, Walk. But to me, and this is me, and maybe I shouldn't say this as the host of Celtics pre- and post-game, but the Cavs are still the team to beat as far as I'm concerned. Until you eliminate LeBron, you can't count out the Cavs.
They're the Eastern Conference champs, and anytime you have a team with LeBron James on it, they're the team to beat. And that's what I faith in myself. I think my Celtics can beat them. But, I mean, yeah, they are the team to beat.
I agree with you. But what about Toronto? You know, because the Celtics have had some battles with them this season. Toronto has had their struggles in the postseason. How legit would you say are they?
To be honest, there's a lot of teams in the East that can turn it on and play well here in this last couple of weeks. I mean, Milwaukee may have been eighth, a game out of eighth, but they can get hot and go on a run. I think Toronto's been playing really well, and it just sucks. Like a lot of times with these teams who are playing really well, you know, at some point you're going to go on a skid. And I don't know if they're peaking too early, but they definitely have talent. They definitely have talent, but you don't want to peak too early.
That's true. You want to be playing well at the right time. That's something right. The Celtics are doing. With that being said, everybody's worried about Kyrie Irving, Walt, and is he going to come back? And, you know, keep it real with me. How bad is this knee situation for him?
Well, I mean, I've been away for a week and a half, two weeks, so I'm not really tuned in. You know, I think I at the point when I was there, I don't think it was decided yet whether he was having surgery or not. So I just found out a couple of days ago that he had surgery. So or was going to have surgery. I'm not even really sure because I haven't really been that tuned in. But I think, what are they saying, 2 or 3 weeks that he's out?
Yeah,
3 weeks or
something? 3 to 6, they were right. They were saying 3 to 6 with Kyrie. And I'm like, man. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know the extent of what they did. But, you know, I think it's if he comes back, if he can't come back, I think he'll, you know, the way that they do surgeries and how guys respond and, I think he'll be fine. I just don't know the extent of what's going on because I have not tuned in as much.
Right. What was he like in the locker room, though? Because, you know, the narrative, you know, there's some people that called him Kyrie Irving. You know, he wanted his own team. He wanted to be the star. But then when you talk to him, well, it's like, I'm one of the leaders. Like, publicly, he never wants to put himself.
He's like Al, man. They lead by example, and they try to help out the peers and younger guys any way they can, whether it's asking questions or commenting on certain plays or things that we need to get better, or just taking the guy aside and say, hey, we need to do this, or, you know, just helping guys be more comfortable in their role and what it is that we're trying to accomplish. And he and Al and Aaron Baines, they do a great job of that and make sure everybody's on the same page. And you know, Kyrie's right. It's on all of us to lead in some certain way. You know, certain ways, you know, Jalen leads. And, you know, those guys are they're really good and they're together.
All right, Walter McCarty, thanks for jumping on the Celtics Talk podcast. You going to be back this way at all, man? I know you're busy and everything, running your own program now, but you coming back anytime soon?
I'm gonna try. I got some birthdays coming up for my girls, so I gotta make it back and, you know, get in and out.
Let me know if you need tickets to a game, bro. I could hook you up, man.
All right.
All right, well, thanks so much.
All right,
man.
Brother, be well.
All right. Cool. Shout out to Walt for coming on the Celtics Talk podcast. Always good stuff with him. Now let's jump into this Stevens and Scal interview. Scal asked the Celtics coach about leadership, specifically not having a designated team captain on the squad.
All right, Coach, I want to talk to you about like leadership and captains and sort of what made you not want to have captains or co-captains on your team, and when did that start?
Well, that's been a long I've thought a lot about that. You know, my first year at Butler, we had 5 seniors. We had 12 total players. and we decided to make all five captains because they all five represented what we wanted to represent on and off the court. And I felt like if you make one or two captains, it would disempower the other three. And so I really started thinking more about, like, is it more important to have somebody named captain, or is it more important to everybody feel ownership and feel like they own a part of it? And we've spent a lot of time discussing that. And I think, you know, we've kind of erred on the side of no captains for the most part. In an obvious situation where you've got one holdover from a team like we had when I first got here, or maybe you have one senior or two seniors in college and the rest are freshmen and sophomores, maybe there's a unique situation there. But for the most part, you know, I want Jalen, Jason, Marcus Smart, Terry Rozier to all be willing to speak up, say what they want. Feel like they're putting their signature on things because they look up to Al, they look up to Baines, they look up to Kyrie, they look up to those guys. Like, at the end of the day, those guys are the ones that, you know, certainly take a large leadership role, but without necessarily, you know, disempowering somebody else, which I think is really important.
Now, so many times, it's the best player who is the captain or the leader of the team. Have you noticed in college or in the pros that sometimes you'll get a great leader by an eighth man, a tenth man? Not necessarily the best player on the team is the greatest leader.
Well, leadership, too, is, I think, viewed maybe in a different lens than it was 15 or 20 years ago, too. It was probably the most vocal, most vibrant, loudest person at one point in time. Now it's about how well do you do your role every single day. And, you know, the quietest person in the room can do it just as well as the loudest. And at the end of the day, we need everybody doing it as well as they can. We need everybody excited to do it as well as they can. And so that's another reason why, again, if everybody feels like they have some ownership in that, I think you're more likely to see a higher level of performance.
Now, when you were jacking up all the shots in high school, were you the vocal leader as well?
You know, it's funny. I probably was, I probably thought of myself as one, but I learned way more as I grew up and got older. As I went into my senior year in college, I learned what leadership was all about because I wasn't playing. And I think ultimately that experience was probably the most beneficial thing I could have gone through to be a coach because, you know, it's easy to be the guy that gets every shot and, quote, be a leader. But it's tough to be the guy that sits on the end of the bench and doesn't get a chance and thinks he should. And still bring the right mindset and the right attitude to the table. And I had to learn that. Like, it wasn't easy for me. That's why I appreciate these guys that don't play all the time when they come in, do their job, and then they just get ready for the next time you call their name.
All right, thanks, Coach.
That was Stevens and Scal, as always, here on the Celtics Talk podcast. Sherrod, before we wrap up, no captain. I think that's Brad's way, though. When you look at it, you don't want to put one guy above the other. And if you listen to the Celtics talk, it's all about we. You rarely hear I or me or anything like that.
Well, I don't think they're built to have a captain. I mean, as even though Kyrie may be the best player, you can make an argument that there are other guys who are more important to this team in terms of winning. And the collective body of this team is such that there really isn't that one guy that you say is our best player and he's our most important player. Like Paul Pierce, he was your best player and he was your most important player.
That but Kyrie is the best player.
He's the best player.
And the most, like, Sherrod. I ain't going to let you get away with that.
Drapes, well,
tell me somebody more important than Kyrie. Come on.
Well, let's see. When
I'm talking I'm talking about championship to win a title. Man. That's what it's all about.
So Paul Pierce is more important than Kevin Garnett?
No, we're talking about Kyrie Irving. No, he's trying to switch it up for me, Jason.
The bottom line is this. Kyrie has a role with this team, and it is to be an elite scorer, but this team does not win a championship if you don't have guys who can defend at an elite level defensively, like Marcus Smart, like your boy Al Horford, your boy T. Rose, who's coming off. The bottom line is if they win a championship, all of those guys that I just mentioned will play an important role, and Kyrie obviously is at the head of that snake, but by no means is he – if he plays great, that doesn't mean you're going to win.
You know what, though? I could see Al Horford being a captain.
No.
Why are you dissing Al?
I'm not dissing Al. I like the way it is right now. I like the fact that they don't have any captains.
No, I'm saying if they were going to name a captain, I could see Al Horford being
the guy. He would be in a conversation.
The veteran, locker room presence, OG, shows up, does his job, works hard every night, you know, a mentor to the young players, a guy young players should aspire to follow through in terms of his work ethic and his professionalism. Maybe Al's my captain. How about that? I'm naming Al Horford the captain.
You go right ahead and do that. You go
all
right,
I got to get out of here. But I got things to do.
Because obviously, delusional.
Hey, Sherrod Blakely, thanks for, as always, for joining us on the Celtics Talk podcast. Walter McCarty and Coach Stevens and Scal as well. Make sure you subscribe on all your favorite podcasting apps on Apple Podcast as well. We will see you next time on the Celtics Talk podcast.
We're out!